too.
It's good to be here at church tonight. And what a wonderful party this is as God's people get together. Some beautiful things are going on. And I have to say that I know that we want to succeed in our spiritual walk in greater ways. Amen. But I think we have realized and we're buying into collectively how much we need to pray about everything. Because without Him, we could do nothing. Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be spending a lot of our time in Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you know that the church is a family? You know that, right? Amen. And I say that because a lot of times it does not get that form of recognition. I think a lot of times the way we articulate and we use certain terms, it gives the idea that the church is something different than that. And when God created Adam and Eve, we do all acknowledge that that was the first family, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you also have to acknowledge that when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He would be in our midst. So with Adam and Eve, that was the first church. And then, of course, the other institution is government. And as you look at the economy, the way the government was went throughout all of Israel, it was the heads of families that were the people in government, and that also made up, you know. So in Israel's existence, civic duty was no different than a spiritual duty. You follow? And vice versa. And therefore, that's why we do well if we can find some believers to vote them into office, because that would be the perfect will of God. Amen? That people that are afraid of the Lord, that fear the Lord, that love the Lord, that obey the Lord, would be running our politics as well. But that would be another thing altogether. But I'd like for us to pay some special attention here to Philippians chapter 4, if you will, please. And I praise God for the prayers, and we see what happened there with Pastor Tito and his colleague, work colleague, and how the Lord blessed. And now we're going to get a chance to visit Brother Craig. We have visited Annalise's dad about at least three or four different times. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of occasions, we knew he was there because his work van was there and he wouldn't open to us. And now, praise the Lord, there's an answer to prayer, right? So the gospel is going to go into that family as well. So God is so good. Amen. And Philippians chapter 4, if you look at verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." God help us to think on these things. It wouldn't be written down if it weren't because we're distracted, and we get distracted. And Lord, that's just our human frailty. We thank You, Father, for Your patience. Oh, God, we thank You for the provision, not only of Your patience, but of Your grace, of Your mercy towards us. And we thank You for the gift of this wonderful book, the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for Your presence here today. We thank You, Father, for the victory yesterday and the victory that we had getting up this morning, and Your safety in coming to church. We thank You, dear God, for the liberty yet in America, and that we can get together under these conditions, and we can go move forward without fear or trepidation, Father, but we need Your help. This tongue is without rule unless You rule it, Lord. This heart certainly needs, Lord, Your conditioning. This mind, Father, needs the preparedness, because the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I plead with You, Father, as Your people have come out today to receive something from the Word of God, I pray that it will be You that does the work. So we rely upon You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. What a tremendous verse to open up with, amen. And I am convinced that in the Word of God, there's everything you and I need. There really is. We've got His presence in us by His Holy Spirit, but we have His instruction. We have His wisdom. We have his science, if you will, too. There's a lot of things out there in the scientific world that has already been spoken of in the Word of God. I remember a man used to say, stick with the Bible, let science and education catch up. Mm-hmm. And nothing can be more true. And in spite of that sin that so easily besets us, we have the power of God to live according to his will if we humble ourselves, if we take the Word of God, where all of this truth, God is an honest God. God is a just God. He's a holy God. Everything that is lovely is because of God. And we can enjoy these things. And I know that sometimes we feel, I know a young man is always getting on himself. The flesh is a battle. Amen? How many of you don't have a battle in the flesh, right? We all do. But I'll tell you what, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. A lot of people are kind of, they feel defeated because there's such a contradiction in us with this flesh. Amen. But nevertheless, listen, where our sin abound, God's grace did much more abound. So don't disqualify. Just pray, read your Bible, obey it, and you'll get the power to move forward for his glory and for your personal benefit.
That's right.
We owe it to the Lord. We owe it to each other. And we owe it to the lost to meditate on these beautiful virtues that we have here before in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And today I want us to concentrate on the church family. So we're going to be looking here in Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there yet? Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. And let's pick it up in verse 1. Amen? It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I like the order there. He gave himself to God, and therefore he sets for us the example of what real love is and what it looks like. Amen. Then in verse three, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, who are the children of disobedience? Who are they? The lost. Why? Because they don't obey the gospel. So you got to know that. Because there are a lot of Christians that are disobedient. But the disobedience here are those that disobey the gospel, that reject it. Okay, so just so that you know, a little doctrine there. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So there's a distinction. So what Paul is telling me, don't be like the world. Don't be like them. Because we, the believers, have the capacity to be like worldly people. Amen? This is not spoken in a void. This is addressing an issue among believers. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen? Yeah. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Everything is accomplished according to the will of God when you're filled with the Spirit. It's not just head knowledge of the Bible. Are you with me? In fact, knowledge of the Bible tends to puff it up. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that's when we effectively execute that love among us. Because if you love Jesus, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Love worketh no ill, right? If you love, you're not going to fornicate. If you love, you're not going to be like the world. If you love, you're going to be honest. You're going to think on those things that are virtue. Amen? That's how it works. So if you go now, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is, I was telling Brandon here, I was amazed that you got this verse up there, brother. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 15 and 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. There's a reason why God says what he says, and the fact that you're saved does not mean we ought to abuse the grace of God. There is a reason to fear not doing what God says. There's always a price. There's always a price to pay when we disobey a holy, almighty God. We don't do God a favor by living right. We do ourselves a favor. God's on his throne. He's doing pretty much okay. Now, we can grieve him, and that is something we want to avoid. Right there in the second chapter, 1 Peter, look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't live in the darkness of the world. Amen. We're a peculiar people. Act like it, even if they find you weird. Better weird than worldly. Amen. Better weird than carnal. I mean, what kind of a church would we be if we would just allow worldliness, indifference, carnality? If we were to avoid all of these virtues that we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, what kind of a church? Who would want to come to a place like that? You can join the world, join the clubs, hang out. But not here. This is not a club. This is a family. And it's a holy family. It's the family of God. Hey, listen, if you're going to use social media, if you're going to share any thought, please accompany your thoughts with verses of the Bible. How do you dress up? If you're going to put a picture on social media, what do you look like? Do you look like somebody that represents Christ? Do you look like somebody of virtue, somebody that Philippians chapter 4 is talking about? Because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And an ambassador represents their country. And the ambassadors in this church represent Bible Baptist Temple, represents Jesus Christ and his heaven. That's what we're called to do. Beyond our head knowledge of the scriptures, but a knowledge of the scriptures with the power of the Holy Ghost, that we might love God, love each other, and love the lost. Does that make sense? Isn't that what drew you to Jesus Christ? Amen. Wasn't that his, isn't he referred to as darling in the Bible? What beautiful expressive words that draw us to our Savior. If he were like me, he would not be beautiful. Boy, that's an understatement, right? How do we respond to Philippians 4:8, you know? There are times, there is such a thing as church discipline, and a lot of times it's an awkward thing for everybody. But there's a time that is needed. Amen? We got to work on purity, right? And we try to deal with things privately. But there's a time where things have to be brought before the church because it can get out of control. Amen? And we hold each other in check because God deserves it. You want a place where you can feel that we're preaching the truth in love, right? We preach the truth in love, that we preach the truth with patience. But there's a time where people in their rebellion and their pride will reject truth, will reject it, and then the church gets a bad name. You know what I find out? A lot of times people reject Jesus Christ because of what some saint did. And it's so unfair, right? It's so unfair. Just because my niece does something bad doesn't mean her uncle's at fault. Right? I'm preaching the truth. And that's what I'm telling you. She's going to hate me.
Wish things, though.
How do you blame God for something that one of his kids did? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, if you teach your kids, God teaches us to do the right thing, and then I go out there and smack somebody in the mouth, and now they blame God. Oh, I don't. I'm not going to get saved. Look how those people act over there. But they do that.
Yeah.
The people blame God for the things we do. And I can understand, if God ain't working for you, why should it work for me? You follow what I'm saying? That's the thinking. Well, you claim yourself, you claim to be a Christian. Why aren't you living like it? Amen. Why should I want what you have or what you declare to have? Look at the way you're looking. Look at the way you're acting. Look at the way you're talking. Am I, it's not that complicated, is it? Mm-hmm. We owe it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We owe it to the world, and we owe it to one another to think on these things. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at verses 17 through 18 here. Ephesians chapter 5. Say an amen if you ain't sleepy yet.
Amen.
All right, good deal. I drank my coffee so I won't fall asleep in the message. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He said, well, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, you need to pray. You need to ask. You may even have to beg with gratefulness. You cannot be grateful if you're complaining. You know, one of the things that I love about God is that I can be grateful under the worst circumstances. Now, why am I told to be grateful? Because I'm not always grateful. Has anybody ever here complained about something or someone? Stop complaining. Stop it. Amen. That's one of our frailties. That's one of our faults. That's one of the sins that so easily besets us. So we recognize it. We talk to God about it. God, I'm sorry. And then if you're not sorry, says God, I should be sorry. You understand? Listen, God, you're not surprising God with any of your confessions. He knows it already. You might just as well know it. Don't deceive yourself. I remember years ago, I mean, you hear everything. This one guy said he was saved. He's one of these cultist guys. And he says, oh, ever since I got saved, I stopped sinning. Well, I said, you just lied to me. You're a sinner. I remember another time. I mean, you have fun with these people. I remember one guy, and they're the ones that teach you can lose your salvation, right? So there's this guy. I'm walking down the aisle. I'm still at General Motors. And this guy, he drove a fork truck. He was a fork truck operator. And he comes up to me. And we just kind of met each other. And then he says to the ass man, he says, are you one of those that believe once you're saved, you're always saved? I'm a little surprised by the question, but I said, yeah, I believe I'm saved for all of eternity. So we got into a debate on the issue, right? And there we are. I'm not kidding, man. We must have been there for about a half hour or maybe even more. So finally I said to him, hey, you believe you can lose your salvation? and says, you are on company time, you are a thief. So by your argument, you just lost your salvation. Man, that dude just took off. And months went by, we didn't talk. It's ridiculous, right? I'm saved. I got saved because I needed salvation, because a sinner needs God to save him.
Amen.
And if I can lose it for my sin, then I couldn't get it. Because that's how God found me. Amen. And my niece says amen. She believes that. So we need to pray. But here's one thing we also need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to fast. The Bible says that our God is our belly. And we need to tell our belly, no, I'm going to talk to God for a while. I'm going to put you to the side. We need to take. I'm just saying, how do I get filled with the Spirit of God? I pray, I beg, I talk to God, I'm grateful, and then I also fast. I also fast. And it's amazing how God fills you. It's amazing how God actually does fill you, and you seem to get a power behind that, you know. And God knows why he says it, and the Apostle Paul used to fast a lot. He asked for prayer, and he prayed a lot, and therefore he was able to complete his mission. He was able to humble himself in areas that otherwise he would not. He was a very strong kind of character, kind of guy, and yet he speaks to us with tears a lot of times when you read through his letters. Boy, he loved the church. He loved Jesus, the apostle of grace. Amen. Verses 19 and 21, if you will, please, and thank you for your patience. Here it is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing it is to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And I so love my church. I even like Matthew. Can you believe that? Matthew's kind of a cool guy. You love your grandfather?
Sometimes.
You and Emily are kind of the same way. And I understand why. I mean, I don't like myself either. But God loves me in spite of me.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? Amen. It's an amazing thing. And I look at God's people, and I know that it's not hopeless, because God hasn't given up on me. And I know that I'm better than I was yesterday, and all glory goes to God.
Amen.
Because what it is you never stop discovering the glories of what he does. He doesn't stop. He keeps giving, he keeps giving, he keeps giving, he keeps giving, he keeps providing, he keeps providing.
Yeah.
And he's always there, so present. And as we see the answer of prayer there, something that Pastor Tito had been praying for years, man, God accomplished it, something that we've decided that we wanted for Annalise. There it is. They're going to, Pastor. So what I'm saying is, folks, there's every reason to love God and keep him first.
Yeah.
Every reason you can imagine. He deserves our primary love. If you'll go to Galatians 6 with me quickly, and how do we deal with one another? You know, preferably this is the way to go. When we say that we love the church, when we have our disciplines in the church, in Galatians chapter 6, 1, it says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what I like about verse 2? A lot of times, I am suffering the consequences of my own faults. Now, you've got a choice. You could either judge me with a self-righteous attitude, or you can say, you know, Brother Jose, you're suffering because there's this area in your life that you're not in keeping with the Word of God. So if you come to me in humility, you have a better chance of helping me get out of there than if you, hey, what are you doing? Aren't you the pastor? Shouldn't you know better? And I probably would have it coming. But the approach is so important. You approach me with your humility, instead of losing me, you might gain me. Mm-hmm. And between you and me, as we carry each other's burdens, we can get on the other side. Mm-hmm. And do something better for God, and do something better for each other. Mm-hmm. because we're supposed to love each other like Christ loved me. He hasn't given up on me.
Yeah.
Right? Matthew probably had, but I probably had it coming. Mighty source, you've been putting up with me for a while. See how you're doing, huh? That's my life, okay. Isn't it glorious to be saved?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
To be in church, be with family.
Amen.
I just love this stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's addicting. It's addicting. So, amen. How human is it to just criticize? It doesn't take any effort to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
It takes no effort to see something wrong in someone.
Yeah.
But boy, it takes the love of Christ, the patience of God, the mercy that's extended to us.
Amen.
And the knowledge of the truth with humility.
Mm-hmm.
To help purge and bring a better way for someone that deserves your love as Christ loves you.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, he's always our foundation for everything, isn't he?
Amen.
To God be the glory. It is divine. I love the fact that along with John 3:16, let's go to John 3:16 and look at verse 17. John chapter 3.
Amen.
So we know John 3:16, amen?
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But verse 17 is probably the one I want to reference for this message. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a, I mean, boy, if that doesn't grab the soul of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that says? It says to me, Jose, I don't approve your sin, but I'm here as a solution to your problem.
Amen.
I am here as a solution to your sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I am here as a solution to the darkness of your existence. I am here as the solution by which you get drunk for the reasons you get high. I am here to put in your soul a comfort and a peace that passes all understanding. Well, you won't need any of that stuff anymore. He's the solution. How glorious is that? Almighty God. The creator of the universe. The solution for everything you can imagine. How do you beat that? There's nothing in creation ever created to replace the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Moving forward, because we're trying to concentrate on our family, church family, home family. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to read through these verses. We're not going to elaborate. But I would ask you to please go through these, moving towards the next few weeks. In Ephesians 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, men, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man never yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto the wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, because husbands and wives present the relationship between Jesus and the church to the world, to the church, and to the children at home. What view do we give to the world when they look at our marriages? What are our children see at home? And what do we bring to the church? These are glorious goals, folks. And what I like about it is we can do this independent of the other. Remember over there, Abraham, 1 Peter chapter 3? Abraham and Sarah. Abraham failed, and God saved them because of her. So that's where we're going the next few messages moving forward, folks, as we concentrate on the family, the church family, and those